Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I am Kyle McMahon. It is October. It is my favorite month of the year. I am always super insanely busy, which is why you've only had a couple of episodes this month. Of course, in a couple of weeks, we'll be going back to weekly episodes. Today, I am really excited. This is a bucket list interview for me. I have loved her since I was a child and will always love her. The one and only, the queen of Halloween, the mistress of the dark, it's Elvira on the show today. Cassandra Peterson, of course, is the creator of Elvira, and she has been doing her thing for decades so successfully. I just absolutely adore her. I love, you know, I was first introduced to her as I was very little kid with Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I caught a rerun on TV or something. And just absolutely fell in love. There was a woman out there who loved Halloween as much as I did. I found my, you know, counterpart as a little kid. And I've loved her ever since. I mean, she had, of course, the follow-up film. And, of course, she started as a horror host out on the West Coast and then expanded all across the world, and she's just absolutely hysterically funny, whip smart, a beauty. I mean, she's just awesome, and she is on Pop Culture Weekly this week for our Halloween episode. All right, so without further ado, let's get it on. Well, that was awkward, but anyway. Let's get the video, the audio. I'm having all kinds of problems today. Let's get the interview rolling with Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. All right, so I am here with the one and only, the Queen of Halloween, the Mistress of the Dark herself, Elvira. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be here. Halloween's coming.
It is. It's my favorite time of the year. You are obviously the queen of this season. What's it like for you in 2020?
You know, I was very worried about it to begin with. As you may have seen my video that's just came out recently, my music video called Don't Cancel Halloween. I mean, that was what I was thinking was going to happen.
Right.
And strangely, it's kind of turned around in a certain way. I've been doing more online shows and interviews and everything that I could ever imagine.
So that's great. So you're keeping busy. I mean, I knew you would, but I was wondering how everything would turn out with, you can't do your typical appearances like you normally would, but you found a way.
Yeah, I found a way. And in fact, I think, for example, I'm doing a show this Friday. I've already taped it, but this Friday that's with Bette Midler. It's called Hocus Pocus Hulaween, and it's I'm hosting this show for Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy and Jimmy, where I bring back the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus. And the lineup of stars that they have involved in this show could only be done, I think, in this virtual scenario. In real life, it could have never come together because people are in so many places and their schedules are so different, you know?
Yeah, and I love that people are finding ways to deal with what we have and coming up with creative ways to do stuff anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really had to kind of rack my brain about how do I keep myself out there? It's Halloween. I don't want to be just not visible, you know. This is my time of year. And we have come up with so many different things that we're doing, like my Kickstarter program for my comic book. It's called Omega Ma'am from Dynamite Comics. And that's getting a lot of visibility.
Yes, that looks so exciting.
Yeah, it really is exciting. It's a special that kind of combines the whole pandemic and Halloween together.
And you
horror
like,
together, anyway.
I'm sorry. And yeah. You, like, blew away the freaking goal already.
Yeah, three times. It's been surpassed three times. We can't believe it. But it really has forced me, and I'm sure others, to be a lot more creative. The music video came up with me just, you know, bitching to somebody about, we really should be talking about this. And what if the Halloween is canceled and blah, blah, blah. And that whole music video idea came out of that. And then, sitting around with friends talking about different ideas that we could do. And I really think this Halloween is going to be, will have more visibility than I normally would.
And I love it. I cannot get enough of Elvira ever all year. And I'm sure there's millions of people that feel the same. And speaking of projects, you have the Mezco Living Dead doll that's getting ready to pre-order, right?
Yeah, it just came out. Getting pre-order. It's not actually, you can't get it yet, but you can pre-order it. And that, I have wanted to be a Living Dead doll for so long, I can't tell you. I mean, since my child was little, and I was buying her Living Dead dolls, I loved them so much. And we approached them many times to do an Elvira Living Doll doll, but they didn't think it was really exactly a character that was up their alley. So I'm thrilled that it's finally happened.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that. You have from Messed Up Puzzles, you have the Elvira puzzle, which is a classic Elvira pose.
Yeah, there are a few of them. They're very classic. but they're, puzzling. I mean, what could be better right now? I mean, I don't know about you, but I know about a million people, friends of mine. I hate puzzles. Not my own, of course, I love. But I'm not a kind of person who can sit down and concentrate on a puzzle. I just can't do it. But I know so many people right now who are doing puzzles. It's crazy.
I love it. And, of course, I love your Funko line, all the Funko products, like the Rock Candy and the Funko Pops and all. I cannot get enough of Elvira Funko stuff.
Oh, thank you. I love Funko, too. I mean, I was so glad to kind of hook up with them and be able to do all these different Funko Pops that they've done now. I think I have 7 or 8 that have come out. And I just love those guys that run Funko. The founder, Mike Becker. And I just adore them and what they have done. And I love working with them. And I think we're going to have another one in the not too distant future. We'll see.
I can't wait. And those guys are so awesome. You should see my studio here at iHeart. It's all Funko stuff, and they're just great people. I love them to death. They're so amazing. And so to have Elvira Funkos is even, it's like Christmas for me, Halloween.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait to get another one together. But Christmas is a good idea. There you go, an Elvira Christmas Funko.
There you go.
Worth pitching. I'll send this check. It's in the mail.
Oh, thank you. And so you have had an incredible career that has not slowed down whatsoever. And I think you're known for two huge things. And that is, of course, is your brain and talent. So what?
Oh, thank you.
Of course. So I was wondering what, all of the projects that you have done over your career, what has fueled you? Is it you're just such a creative person that it has to pour out of you? What is it that keeps you going nonstop?
Oh, good question. what is it? I don't know. The interesting thing about having a character like Elvira has been that I get to dabble in a million different creative ventures. I get to sing. I get to dance. I get to write. I get to write books. I get to record music. I get to be in films, on TV. It's like a different thing every day. So I think it's probably a little bit like being addicted to drugs. I don't know, but in a good way. Just putting out some creative endeavor and seeing the reaction to it, you just want to do more and better. I don't know. That's my personality, I guess.
I love it. And I was a little kid when the first film came out, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which is still an annual watch for me. It is just It is so, it's just quintessential Halloween for me. It just, you know, embodies the spirit, of course. And ever since, I've been a huge Elvira fan. And of course, being a huge horror fan, and Halloween is my season. And obviously, you started out as the hostess with the mostess, if you will. Is there ever, have you thought about streaming or, you know, a return to that format at all?
To the horror hosting format?
Yes.
Well, I think about it all the time. Never leaves my mind. And I have made attempt after attempt after attempt to do just that. Most recently, it's been a while now, I think it was 2012, I tried to get films together and do a horror hosting thing that we then tried to syndicate across the country, and unfortunately syndication went the way of, you know, everything.
Yeah.
A lot of things that have gone away, that, you know, the dial by number telephone or something.
Right.
But it's just, I the problem, the wall I keep hitting up against is getting those films, the kind of films I need, the old campy horror movies. And those things just aren't around. They're in somebody like a Universal's library. And if you want to get them, the cost is prohibitive.
Mm.
So other than the public domain films that I show and show and show and show over and over and over, I'm not able to come up with a bunch of films to air, you know. So that's where I keep hitting this wall. It makes me sad because I'm afraid it's going to be what's going to happen is that horror hosts are going to go the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah, and that would be like a travesty to American culture. I mean, there's nothing else like it, and it just. The thought of it just excites me, and this is my call to, you know, movie studios out there. I mean, come on, let's get it together, and let's get the biggest host ever of horror hosting, and let's get this together. I mean, with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and something, like, let's do it. Of course, you did the thing with Hulu a few years back, but we need more.
Thank you. Even that was a big challenge, and we were lucky to get that group of films because we went to the producer and they got them directly from him, Charles Band. So that was the type of film I don't normally find myself hosting, but they worked. I'm happy to say they worked incredibly well. But if it hadn't been for Charles Band coming along and wanting to utilize the movies he'd done, I wouldn't have been able to get the rights for that either, and neither would, with the producers. So, yeah, you should be my PR guy. Come on now. Let's make all the film studios give us these damn movies.
I will literally go on a PR campaign for you to do this. It's Woo-hoo. Long overdue. So, and I am totally in your corner. And I don't want to take too much of your time because this is your haunting season, but what do you think of the state of horror today? You know, as you know, it kind of has different eras, the haunted house era, the slasher era. What do you think of, you know, the modern era of horror films?
Yeah, I think it's getting better and better. I mean, I think it's getting bigger. I think it's getting more inclusive. More diverse, more interesting. I think the slasher films have really gone into the background a little, which I'm happy to say. And it's getting more about kind of like spooky stories from when you were a kid, you know, just films that are scary and spooky. And I love that. I mean, it's like the films I grew up with, only with a lot bigger budget and more talent involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's very, as you said, you know, the slashers have kind of gone to the background, and now it's a lot of, you have geniuses that, you know, are doing things like Get Out. And I mean,
Get Out was the one I was just going to mention. I mean, I just freaking love it. You know, it's horror has been so damn white.
Yes.
God, it really has. It just needs to be much, much more diverse, you know? I mean, there are some out there who have a lot of diversity. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh my God, I love him. I love him. I love him.
Christ, I love him so much too. And I mean, he does very diverse, you know, horror movies. You know.
Yes.
I mean, so he's like a real champion of that. There has been a little more diversity, thank God, coming into horror. I love Get Out. Another movie that I love that is semi-recent is The Witch.
Yes.
I just loved it. It's just the feel of it. Nobody is, you know, it's not that bloody or gruesome or anything. It's just incredibly scary, though, I thought.
Absolutely. Oh, Machete, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Lord. Okay, that's so funny. And I was just talking to Danny Trejo 2 days ago. We were going to get together, and he was going to dress as Elvira, and we were going to take photos together. And I got sick. I couldn't do it. It was such a bummer.
Well, hopefully we'll have that to look forward to again in the future. And
yeah, wouldn't you do anything to see Danny Trejo dressed as Elvira? Come on.
Absolutely. I love the idea. Just the idea of it. The picture in my mind that I already have is just, I love it. Cassandra, Elvira, thank you so much for your time. And I hope that we get to do this in person one day once all of this gets back to some kind of normalcy. You are the queen of Halloween. You are the mistress of the dark, well-deserved, one of the hardest working and talented people in the business. And thank you for talking with me on Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon on iHeartRadio.
Thank you, Kyle, and unpleasant dreams.
Is she not insanely incredible? She is so funny, absolutely smart. I mean, she's just awesome. How can you not love her? You can't. You can't help but not love her. I don't think of Halloween without thinking of Elvira. They just go hand in hand for me, and I'm sure many, many, many of you as well. You can go to her website, of course, elvira.com. And follow her on, you know, social media. I mean, she's just hysterical. She puts out content all year. Love, love, love her to death. So let me know what you think. Hit me up on social at KMac Music on Twitter and Instagram, at Real Kyle McMahon on Facebook, and Official Kyle McMahon on YouTube. Let's talk horror. Let's talk movies. Let's talk Elvira. Let's talk whatever you want to talk about. Okay. My social media is open and waiting and ready for you. Sounds very strange, but it's true. All right, I will see you next week.